This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Alrighty, welcome back in. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. BYU is 8-0. The Cougars are ranked 9th in the country. And now joining us is their sensational quarterback and Jake Retzlaff, who's kind enough to join us on the program right now. And he has an awesome story to tell. Jake, appreciate you doing this. How you been?
Yeah, of course, man. Thanks for having me on. I've been good. Like you said, 8-0. It's a good feeling.
Well, I got a little intel on you that you claim to be the best ping pong player on the BYU football team. Can I get the scouting report and talk a little trash right out of the gate on your ping pong abilities?
Yeah, I do it all. The backhand is gnarly. The forehand is gnarly. I cut the ball with some great spin. The top spin is nuts. It's a fun game, man. I've mastered my craft since being here. The young guys like to challenge me, but I take them down. Ethan Erickson, tight end for us, he is up there too. He is a baller. If I had to say anybody could be up there and compete, he can definitely compete for it. He's a good ping pong player. If it was 1A, 1B, I'd be okay with that. But yeah, no, we are definitely at the top alone.
Now, I know Kalani Sitake is very competitive. Have you ever challenged him to ping pong? I have no clue about his ping pong abilities, but I assume he's pretty much probably good at everything.
You're right about him being competitive. Even more competitive is Coach Jay Hill, our defensive coordinator. So he has hopped on the tables a few times. And any time I can get him on is rare, but then I like to just, you know, beat him real quick and get him on his way. And he calls some sort of rule or something that I've never heard of before and does something cheap usually to try to get a point here or there. But I usually beat him too.
What's more competitive, when you go up against his defense in practice or when you go up against him on the ping pong tables?
Oh, I don't know, man. That's close. That's a close call. His defense flies around the football field. But then when you get Jay Hill one-on-one on a ping pong table, that's a heck of a setting you don't get on the field. So I don't know. That might be more competitive.
Jake Retzlaff here with us. A fun start to this conversation. So there's so much to your story. Let me start you off with Golden West College and Riverside City College. What did you take away from those two stops in your journey?
You know, looking back on it, it's nice to have a little hindsight, right? Hindsight's 2020. And so just being able to see like that I was putting in the hard work and it did pay off. You know, it's the delayed gratification is easier for me now than it was in junior college. Because in junior college, you're doing everything you can all the time and doing things that you don't feel like you should have to do. And so that junior college is a grind like no other. Anybody who's been through that route and is a JUCO product and got out and got to this level, I got a lot of respect for that because it takes something else to persevere through that. And so takeaways, man, like I said, it's just that being able to just know that I'm putting in work and it's going to get realized at some point. And it's nice to know that the work I put in has paid off in a lot of ways.
Yeah, you're such a resilient human being. And I know that, right, you had to deal with COVID like everyone else did. But for you, it was during when you're in high school and you're getting recruited. Just how discouraging was it initially when the big schools didn't really come your way, or, you know, the big time programs weren't all in on Jake just because of the path that, even though it worked out for you and you're at a place now where you're successful, but initially there were some bumps in the road to get to where you are today.
Yeah. It was more than that. It was like, not only was it the big schools that didn't want anything to do with me, but it was the little schools that didn't want anything to do with me. It was no school wanted anything to do with me. There was no opportunity put in front of me other than like the only opportunity that was actually put in front of me was a walk-on spot at Utah Tech. Wow. Where I was told I'd never be able to compete for the job. Huh. That was the only opportunity put in front of me. And obviously that's a horrible opportunity. I'm not going to go to a place, you know, that doesn't value me and just has me on the roster. I'm going to a place that values me. And so junior college valued me way more than that. And so that was a decision out of high school. And I played at Corona Centennial, which is a really, really, powerhouse Southern California football team. And our head coach, Matt Logan, who's a mentor of mine and just an incredible human being, is he was trying to pull strings with me to places that, would love to have me now, I bet. Like, I think Northern Arizona, we were begging for a walk-on spot there. And so that's just two opportunities that I didn't even get. And now, so being at BYU is just incredible. And it's the reason why I wouldn't have it any other way. Just being able to go through the journey of junior college, I had some fun times that I'll never forget. I had some hard times too, like you said, but there was also some really fun times that were worth it in the end.
You know, sometimes when you're getting doubted, like down deep, you know who you are and you know what you're capable of. But when the outside world or other people that are controlling those decisions don't see it, you probably doubt yourself a little bit. Like, how confident were you back then when you weren't getting the looks that you wanted that, hey, I could go on to be, a top quarterback in college football one day?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was just about getting on the field somewhere and playing. The passion for the game is what drove me. Where some people might have been the passion to play at the highest level, passion to go to the NFL. For me, it was the passion to just purely playing the game. And so continuing my career in any way I could. And that's why I found junior college. Like, I knew I was a good quarterback. I knew if I went to junior college, I'd win a starting job and I'd have a good opportunity to play and put my talents out there for people to see. But for me, it was just, I always wanted to play ball. And I mean, I played every sport growing up, football, basketball, and baseball, lettered in all three in high school. And so it was just about getting on the field and playing another game. And yeah, I felt like I could play those places that turned me down. And I felt like I could have starred there. But at the same time, man, when you get shut down like that, you're right. You look inside and you're like, man, am I good enough? And so there are those days, especially during the COVID times and during the JUCO times, where you're just like, man, this is hard. This is really hard. But like I said, it was the passion for the game that kept me going, man. I just always wanted to get out there and play. And once I was on the football field, once all the noise outside was silenced and I was on the field, man, that was the serenity for me. And that's where I felt, most at home and comfortable.
If I would have told you 4 years ago that 4 years from now you'd be a quarterback on a top 10 ranked team and undefeated 8 weeks into the season, what would you have told me? Would you have believed that?
I don't know if that I would have, to be honest with you. I definitely, would have said, whatever, just get me to a place to play. 4 years ago, you're talking about that's the end of, in high school. And I'd be like, well, whatever, man, I just want a spot to play on a team. I don't need all that, I would say probably, but it's been a blessing, man, to be able to be here. And this team is the best, best team I've ever been on. And these guys are awesome. The way they approach the day, the way they approach the game and the way they approach life. And it's been so fun. And I'm blessed to be where I'm at.
And I say this as a Jewish kid. Like, would you ever believe a Jewish kid would be the starting quarterback at BYU? That's unbelievable. Like, my dad first told me about you a few years ago, and he was like, "Can you believe a Jewish quarterback last year is playing for BYU?" And I'm like, "No, I can't, but it's been some story."
Yeah, it's definitely wild, and it's definitely a little bit of a narrative, and it's obviously a fun deal from where I'm at now, but it is something, like you said, that nobody, I think, would have imagined.
Was there skepticism at first? I know you just want an opportunity. Was there skepticism being Jewish and going to BYU?
Yeah, no doubt, man. It was less of me being Jewish going to BYU and more of what the church's role was at BYU. Because obviously, this being owned and operated by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, so you knew it was gonna be different. And it was definitely a conversation I had with my parents. It was like, hey, what's it gonna be like? Like, it's like, okay, the town's gonna be slower. It's gonna be a different pace than Southern California, and that was definitely something I had to slow down to and acclimate myself to. But also, just like, we saw the benefits of it too. We saw that. Well, I'm going to be able to be focused on football and school. A BYU degree is a great degree. The network here, like outside of football alone, the network at BYU, the degree at BYU, it means a lot. And then when it comes to football, like I'm, because of the way this school is focused on like real life, and it's not focused on the fake stuff like the party scenes of other places. Like, that stuff doesn't really do anything for you. Like, it can be a good time, don't get me wrong, but like, it doesn't do something for you. But winning football games and getting a degree here does a lot for you. And so for me, it's been awesome that just the focus on the main thing. And I talk about this a little bit, just keeping the main thing. It's been a, and that's what BYU, I think, does better than 90% or maybe everybody else in the country.
And it's really like a great life lesson and a world lesson. Like, you don't need people from similar backgrounds, that maybe we would think would never would be in the same room or on the same football field. And this is also the game of football as well. It's like you guys work for one common goal. And if you're willing to put in the work, and if the coaches are willing to put in the work, and the teammates, everyone gets along and they have a grand old fun time, right?
Yeah, I mean, you said it. Football is a microcosm of life. I mean, so many interactions I have here is with people like, you got to get along with no matter what. And not that it's been hard here at all, because the guys in this locker room are second to none for sure. But like getting a common goal done, and at the same time, like we are so different. I believe we have the most diverse locker room in the country. We have guys from everywhere. We got guys from Utah. We got guys from Atlanta. We got guys from East Coast. We got guys from Washington. We got guys from California. We got guys from Arizona. Guys from all over, all different types of backgrounds. And so it's been super fun. You talk about the diversity of the guys. It's like it's cool to just have us come together for a common goal. And you just wish the world was a football locker room sometimes, because it's awesome to see everybody come from so many different backgrounds, so many different upbringings, and come together for a common goal, and then execute that goal at a high level.
Jake Retzlaff here with us, the quarterback of BYU. They're ranked ninth in the country. They are 8-0. These last 2 years, you've been through a lot, obviously, and this is a life-changing experience for you. What have you learned about yourself, Jake, in these last 2 years at BYU?
Man, I've learned that my parents did a pretty good job. I've learned that just being me is going to do a lot for me. Don't be a fake guy. Don't be, like doing all these things for the wrong reasons. Just do them for the right reasons. Talk to the people like they're people. It's fun. Just like when we go to places, like we were in Florida this last week, like, and the cops who were walking us around throughout places, it was like cool chatting with them, because those guys are, local to there. And they have grown a liking to us just from our trip there. And they have like, but they don't know anything about us. And it's cool to learn about them. And they learn about us a little bit, and they get to see us in action and get a pretty up close view of it. And it's cool. Like I said, just treating everybody that way and getting treated good because of it. And so it's been super fun to be able to meet people from all over the world, all over the country, and bring everybody together for some BYU football.
For people that have not seen you play, like obviously they could hear this conversation, they could understand the type of human being you are, but on that football field, how would you describe your game?
Just go get it, man. No matter what it is, I'm gonna go get it. Just the toughness. I think I try to play with as much toughness as I can. And if I take a hit, the harder the hit, the faster I usually get up. You know what I mean? And just because, like, I'm gonna show those guys that, oh, that hit fired me up. That didn't hurt me at all. And at the same time, just making plays in all facets of the game, running the ball. The first touchdown last week was a running touchdown. The second touchdown was a handoff, and then the third touchdown was a throw. And so, it's super fun, man. It's just every single aspect of the game, man. Just trying to bring these guys up around me and let the guys around me play, because I got some really good players around me. So I know that's kind of a long-worded explanation of it, but that improviser mentality, that get it done any way you can, it's kind of guy I am.
You being in your early 20s, I'm just wondering, like when you were in your teens, late teens even, like no one was talking about you. Now you're like a huge story each and every college football Saturday, and you still come off extremely humble. Just what has it been like getting this extra and much deserved attention that you've received?
It's cool, but and it's fun, and it brings a lot of opportunity at the same time. Like talking to you today. And so but at the same time, like I said earlier, keeping the main thing is important. And winning, the reason I'm here is because we're winning football games.
Yeah.
And it's because of the work I put in the offseason. Like, it's not because of the interviews that we're winning games. It's the other way around. And making sure that that's clear in our heads, and that's clear that all these awards or watch lists or whatever comes up here and there, like, it's all super fun. Don't get me wrong, but it's only there because we're putting in the work and doing the right things off and on the field, that gets us to where we're at. So just staying focused on that, man. And it's been 100 years of BYU football. It's one of the coolest things about this year. We're having a magical year in 100 years, and it's been 40 years since we won a national championship exactly in the year. And so recognizing that it wasn't me who did this, it wasn't even this year's team that did this, it was everybody before us. And so we're playing for something bigger than ourselves.
I'll bring another proud Jew into this conversation. I saw what El Presidente Dave Portnoy was tweeting about you over the weekend. When are we going to start talking about BYU Jew for Heisman? All proceeds go to Jake, and they have your shirt up there, which is awesome. I'm going to buy one right after this conversation. I'm a Heisman voter. I know your numbers. You got 21 total touchdowns on the season, over 2,200 yards. Just what do you want to say to people voting for the Heisman Trophy. Do you feel like you should be in that mix and in that conversation?
Yeah, it's been a fun conversation that's come up in the recent weeks. But man, I just want to put our team in the best situation. Like I said, the awards are awesome and the awards are fun. And if you vote for me, that'd be cool. That's awesome. But I think the best way to plead my case is to show up in the big games and continue this run. Because it turns out the Heisman winners are usually taken from the best teams and the teams that do the best. And so if I can put this team in the best situation, then that'll give me the best chance for some postseason awards, which would be super fun. But yeah, man, I'm just trying to get this team to the next level and every week get better and better.
I know you said you want to keep the main thing the main thing. I know what that means. But like, even when you repeat that message, your brain naturally has to wander to the college football playoff and what it would be like, maybe even playing in the NFL as well. Like, just from the human side of it, have you thought about those things? Like, it has to be, you know, just natural for that to pop into your mind with it already being towards the end of October and November right around the corner.
Yeah, there's no doubt it's natural. There's no doubt that maybe it's been, you know, came up in conversation even, but it just comes back to like thinking about something like that. It's like thinking about how I got to BYU. You know what I mean? Like thinking about playing at BYU is not what got me to BYU. It was putting in the work. It was playing the JUCO ranks and winning those games and winning those weeks of practice. And so for me, I love the process as much as anything. And so I love going through a Monday practice, which is mostly just a walkthrough. And then I love going through a Tuesday practice. We call it Bloody Tuesday. And that's a hard practice, man, because your body's not fully recovered yet. And yet you still got to go hard. We go, you know, ones versus two. We go crossover offense versus defense. And then there's some scout work towards the end of the day. And then Wednesday is more scout work and it's refining all of the things for the game plan. Thursday is more of a glorified walkthrough, Friday walkthrough, and then Saturday game. And like, I love that journey throughout the week. And that's the season, man. That is the season. We are 8 games in. We got to go play in game 9 in a couple weeks. But it's going to take game 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 to get to that playoff. And so when I think about the playoff, I think about the opportunities in front of me right now that are going to help me put myself in the best situation to get there. So like you said, keeping the main thing is easy when you're talking about the process because, yeah, I could talk about how I would love to go to the college football playoff and turn up and do great things, but how do I do that? And that's going back to, I got practice this afternoon and we got to perform in practice and you know what I mean? And so I love that mentality. It always brings me back. You know, you can let your mind wander. It's healthy to let your mind wander. Actually sitting in kind of silence for 15 minutes a day is a good thing. And just thinking is a great thing. Your imagination is super powerful. But when you still have the same mindset, it just brings you back to where your feet are. And that's what I love about what Coach Kalani is teaching here and what this culture and what this team is doing every day. Cause I don't think I've been around a better group of individuals that attack every day for what it is than this team.
Well, enjoy the bye week, enjoy practice. And I know you got a tough one next week up against Utah. Before we let you run, Jake Retzlaff, do you have your Star of David on you? Just wondering the chain.
Yeah. It's a cold day, so it's underneath the hoodie, but I always got it, man. I always got it on.
You know, I usually you do jersey swaps. You know, maybe we'll do a chain swap. I got my 10 commandments right there. My fat fingers are covering it, but that was my grandfather. But hey, I appreciate the time. Your story's a whole lot of fun, and good luck and keep kicking ass the rest of the way.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me on.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.